The podcast you are listening to of Holmberg's Morning Sickness is brought to you by my friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite. Repeat. Trust me on this one. You've had barbecue before, but you haven't had it this good. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale, ericsfamilybbq.com.
There's only one Eric's Family Barbecue location in Arizona. That's right, just one. It's in Avondale, and it's worth the drive over and over again. Barbecue restaurants that have several locations usually cut their quality for expansion. Not Eric's Family Barbecue. Eric serves Texas-style barbecue that never disappoints, always delicious, never rushed, and prepared to perfection. Now, we know brisket is king, but have you tried their pulled pork with coleslaw? It's a match made in heaven. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite, repeat. Go to ericsfamilybbq.com for more information.
Still streaming. Holmberg's Morning Sickness. Online at 98kupd.com.
There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Wednesday. This is the Morning Sickness. My name's John. There's Brady. There's Brett. There's Big Dick Toledo. We are off and running another chilly morning, but we're getting used to it now. Now we're just living our winter dreams. But it's chilly again, so be careful out there. Bundle up. Don't freeze today.
Had to scrape the windshield a little bit this morning.
Did you? Not, had a little,
not too bad, but not as bad as yesterday.
Getting the freeze on there. Yeah. Well, no more of that. You'll have a couple more days of chilly, and then we're fine again. Don't worry about it. We'll be okay. Our winter is basically yesterday, today, and then maybe tomorrow in the week.
I'll get you a scraper for tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to get a good scraper, and you have to scrape. I just wait. You know, just drive around. It'll melt. Yeah, you know, people don't. I hate that. I hate those seasons, people. We need seasons. I mean, you were a kid when you said, you think of that, I need winter. You were a child. You've never been an adult driving in that nonsense. I remember my dad boiling water in the morning to pour it on his car door to get the ice off of the lock or off of so it would open, and then pouring it all over the window, like slowly, so that big chunks, sheets of ice would come off. Like, that's your seasons. Take your seasons and shove them up your ass. I'll take this all day. It's a little bit cold. No big deal. I got a call yesterday, and I'm not happy it happened, but I'm happy at what the end result. You know when, you know, they say, every action has a reaction, you know, cause and causality. And get a call yesterday from TV's Doug Hopkins. And the first words out of his mouth after, hi, how are you, after the pleasantries are, you've been right this whole time, society and everybody in it. And I'm like, what? And he goes, you're right. The human experiment is a piece of there's no reason to ever get a medical test to find out if you should live longer. Being on this planet, everybody, you. I'm like, Doug, what's going on?
Jesus.
Yeah. I said, you need to settle down. He goes, nah, the world, everybody. I'm like, Doug, I get your message. What's going on? Doug had a house on Scottsdale and McKellips area, right around there, right? On the border of Tempe, I guess, is it? Tempe-Scottsdale border. He had it purchased. Now, it was evidently it was pretty run down when he got it, and he fixed it up. And he's like, we're not going to be able to get this back on the market. And any sort of, you know, semblance of quality to sell, it'll be sitting. He said, well, we have this empty house. Let's Airbnb it and get it together. So he and his group put together all the, you know, they got his girlfriend's there and all these people are there and they're putting furniture in it. And he went out and he bought one of those game tables and he themed it, made a really cool deal, got it all in there a couple days ago. And then went back for the inspection because it's rented already for today. The people are coming today, and went back yesterday, and the back sliding glass door had been bashed out and everything in it is gone.
Oh, man.
Everything. In one day,
wow.
He moved it all in, and the next day it was all gone. So Doug's end result was society. And I said, look, I know this is a really odd time and you may not see it, but what's happened here is you've come to the dark side to realize there's no reason. This is a guy who, by the way, spent all of December giving $1,000 to strangers every day
through the holidays. Just saying, you know what? I've done really well this year, and I want to. And he'd videotape it, and he's like, "Here's $1,000 to a waitress at a restaurant who was always nice to his mother." Just he was one of those people who's like, you know, it was Jesus-y. It was kind of wandering around saying, "Hey, my mom always says you're super nice to us. Doug's parents are super sweet people," and he's like, "I just wanted to be nice back and say you take care of them when they're here, and I appreciate it. $1,000, here you go." And he counts out. Tried to give it to a lady at Walmart. $1,000 in her hand. Other Walmart employees were like, "Can't do that. Can't give that." And so they started a big thing. So we ended up taking her aside and go, "Here's $1,000. Don't tell anybody." So it was just fantastic. So he did that. And he's like, "I thought good karma would come my way, but f*** that. Nope. F*** society. I want my money back. F*** those people and f*** you." I'm like, "All right, Doug." And then he said, "What I need you to do is talk to your f*** listeners, because I know one of them did it, and find out which one f*** broke into my house." And I'm dying laughing the whole time. But he's now a cynic. And he's now, because we had big discussions over, he just went and got his colostomy, he got jabbed and big
test. He's had a good run.
Oh, he did it on purpose. Like, that was the thing where you go and actually get tested. And I said, "Well, that's something
you got to do it."
Yeah, he started yelling at me. He said, "You got to do that. You're going to find out if you, don't you want to be healthy and live?" And I'm like, "No, not necessarily. I'm okay with not knowing and then just finding out one day, oh, geez, this thing's going to get me. How's it going to hurt?" And the doctor would say, "Yeah." And I'd be like, "All right. When it starts hurting, I'll check out. That's fine." Because I just don't have that, you know, the human experiment is not that impressive to me. So it's not something I want to at least be sick and linger on with, right? If I don't know, if I don't go to the doctor to find out, I won't know I'm sick unless it hurts. And it drives Doug crazy when he goes, "You were right the whole time. Can't wait to just bubble up in tumors and get the off this thing." I'm like, "Wow, this affected you. You should need to see this place." Oh, he was going crazy.
I can't wait to see his next round of commercials on TV.
Oh, it's going
to
be great. Man. "Look, mother, I will buy your house for cash. I'm still cool like that."
I mean, I look at it this way, you know, for him, it's like, imagine how many places he's had in some areas. Yeah, I'm surprised it hadn't happened. You know, this is a different bird.
But yeah, he's never put things in those houses. Yeah. He sells them. So it's not like, and he said it's been empty for like 30 days. It's been.
But the worst would be, you know, at least like you fixed up the place and you go in there and it's trashed.
Sure. But there is nothing more violating than your house being broken into. I had that happen to me in that place in Sholo. And when I got the call the day after Christmas, "Do you own this, blah, blah, blah?" And Elaine, well, yep. "Well, somebody busted in last night." I'm like, "What'd they get?" And he goes, "Pretty much everything." I'm like, "No kidding." I drove all the way up there. And the minute you walk in a house that's been burglarized, you feel absolutely victimized. It's a weird thing. You feel raped. You walk in, you see that your closet is empty, except for a few things that are inevitably just tossed to the side. The bed was gone. I mean, they got everything, and it feels awful.
They stole your bed, too?
They stole everything. Oh, everything but a couch, they took everything.
That's the thing that gets you, too, because they had to have been monitoring this thing.
Oh, sure.
Right through the watching. Window. Yeah. And whether or not someone in the on that block knew about it and her friend.
Well, that's what the inspector for Airbnb, who was going through making sure the house is okay for the people to call back and say, "All right, everything's going to be great. You can come in at noon. We'll have the keys ready here." And the inspector's like, "I'm pretty sure they left when I got here. I'm pretty sure I broke this up because there was a few things that were moved but not taken yet, like the fridge and stuff like that." So if you are the piece of shit that did this to TV's Doug Hopkins, you know, give it back. What's wrong with you? What the f*** is wrong with you?
So did he have to scramble yesterday?
You got to cancel because the back door's blown out. Ugh. You can't. And those aren't cheap, and you can't just order one of those and have it show up. It's going to be a few days. So, yeah, pretty garbagey. Yeah, but I couldn't help it, but like, "Oh, that's terrible news." And then I'm just in hysterics after because he's so mad and he's yelling at everybody. Like, he was lashing out.
Getting it out.
Remember that scene that Lieutenant Dan was mad at God?
Yeah.
That was Doug yesterday. He's floating around screaming, "All right, you, I don't like you and you don't like me." But I felt bad for him. So if you do have any idea who did it, who done it, and then he's like, nobody f-ing cares. And I didn't know this, but now when you have one of those situations that happen, the new rule is that you go online and report it. Nobody shows up at the house. You just go on and say, I have to make a report here that my house has been broken into. And here's the stuff that's missing and things like that. It's online. It's all online. You don't call and bother and waste police resources. Essentially, they're not coming. According to Doug, I don't know if that's like if there's another way to make the cops show up, but this was what they told him. Like, go online and make a report. Like, oh, my God. Because, you know, what are they going to do?
Oh, get on Craigslist.
Yeah. Boy, he was
crazy.
See if
they're posted up there.
But the good thing is he now sees the world properly. It's now a proper way to see things. He said, you know what? Judge people immediately by looking at them and saying, this is probably somebody that would rob my house. I'm not gonna deal with them. Go with Martin Luther King's philosophy of make sure that everybody around you is, you're skeptical of them until they prove otherwise. That's basically, judge them by the content of their character. Get to know everybody. But if you don't know them, stranger danger persists. This whole thing that everybody's your buddy and love will prevail is garbage. Stranger danger. If you see a stranger, suspect them of something horrible until they prove to you that they didn't do anything horrible. It's a fact. I saw an interview with an old English woman yesterday, 100 years old. And they said, what's the secret to long life, love?
Don't talk to strangers and never date a strange man. Avoid strange people.
I'm like, okay, judgment is the key to a long life. Excellent answer. We got to get out of this whole everybody's okay. Normal is normal and weird is weird. And people who want to be weirdos or jerks need to be judged immediately. And that's how you survive. If you want to be 100 years old. I have no interest in that. That sounds awful.
I wish they'd be more honest, the 100-year-old people. What's the key?
That's pretty honest.
The key is don't do it. You don't want to be 100.
Yeah, die. Die.
Suicide at 80. Why are you asking me what I want?
I'll give you the secret.
The secret of lasting long is not having the courage to end it earlier. I live in a puddle of my own filth regularly.
Last night, Suns game, they had a guy who was a World War II veteran. What a story. And he's like, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, this dude's got to be mid-90s right now. And there they showed him, and he's getting a Suns jersey, and you know, the crowd's going crazy, and everybody's both happy and proud of him. He's a veteran of World War II. That's amazing. And then I'm looking at him, I'm like, and they started to show pictures of him when he was young. And then they showed him in his wheelchair, and it's like, ugh. But, you know, you'd like to go out any other way than incapacitated. At least me. He can want to do that all day, but I can look at that and go, good on you. What a life. Time to go. It's time to go. This party's been over for a while.
The question, why?
Yeah, word. And they gave him the jersey, and he didn't really have the strength to reach for the jersey. And I'm like, it's it. But yeah, cynicism wins. But if you are the dickheads that stole from a house around Scottsdale and McAuliffe, I don't know the area very well, give it back.
I like how he assumes it's our listeners, too.
He does. Well, that's what he's talking. He did. It's your listeners. I just know it. I've been to your U-Fest. I know what some of those look like.
I think it's the Morning Messes listeners, actually.
I don't disagree. I told him that, too. I said, now, hold on. That's good judgment, fair. Just because we have a large audience. There's some people out there that we talk to every day that are horrible human beings.
Oh, absolutely.
I think you can't get this many people in a bunch that we have and not have a good portion of them being, you know, absolute tards. So there's no doubt we talk on a morning, every morning, to a bunch of dickheads. No question. Criminal ones, too. But there's other stations in town that do it, too. They just have a smaller audience. Probably a higher percentage of F-tards.
Oh, yeah.
If you listen to the Morning Mess, you're kind of already an F-tard. You have a very low bar for entertainment, so that's kind of a thing. But, yeah, so sorry for Doug Hopkins. You see Doug Hopkins today, pat him on the back and say, it's not all bad, dude, but keep your eyes open because most people are dicks. So, society, man. That's what I say. That's a beautiful thing. It's never, ever, this is a cynical, horrible thing to say. It's never, ever, ever going to all come together where we're getting along. Rodney King, the answer to your question is no. Can't we all get along? No. No. We've tried. It doesn't work. There's nothing. The best we can do is be suspicious of each other on a constant basis. And keep it arm's length from everyone else. That's
how you get along.
It's not getting along. That is getting by. There's a difference. Getting along is like, hi, buddy. No, we get along. You and I, we get along.
Yeah.
Us and KDKB, we get by. Keep them at an arm's length. I don't want them coming down. Well, I mean, think about it. Whenever the other stations come to our side of the building, what the hell's that guy doing here? We're immediately like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
He's got a couch in his hands.
We bow up. We get territorial. Start wondering. And we know them enough. But, you know, what are they coming down here to steal something? They're coming down to, what are they, eyeballing something? We just assume they're up to no good. And that's the assumption you should have for everyone.
Never talk to strange people.
That's her success story. Not Twinkies and coffee every morning or
A shot of whiskey in the afternoon, a shot of whiskey before bed.
All those people that love that. Big people love hearing that when an old man lives to be like 1,000 and they say his secret is pancakes and sausages and a Twinkie. And then big people are like, it's not food. I can do whatever. This is a lady who's just after my heart. A beautiful, beautiful statement of
people are pricks. Know that early on and you'll live forever.
Strange man who's interviewing me.
Now, so, you know, introduce, but you can, it doesn't mean that you isolate completely. You just don't deal
with.
That
would have been great if she ended
you
with
look
that.
At, if he was a strange man, you're one of them.
I don't like
no,
the looks
away.
Of him.
That's what old people all have. They have, I don't like the looks of him. And they just start saying it. We hang out with that old lady, Paula, 93, and she just goes, avoid him. Like, why? I don't like the looks of him. And I'm like, God damn it. That is the way it should be. That is the way life should be.
My grandfather always just said, that guy's NG. No good.
No good. Oh. Yeah, you saw. Yeah, NG. I got nervous.
Yeah, I know.
His grandfather's.
Hey, well.
NG's just a puzzle on Wheel of Fortune. It's missing some letters.
I know, Gramps.
I get it. At least you've narrowed it down to two of the letters. No good. So, sorry, Doug. We love you, and you've got friends. Don't make any more. They're not worth it. Martin Luther King's speech was all about judging people, but not by the color of their skin, by all the other stuff. Just because they're a different color doesn't make them an asshole. They're human beings. We're all assholes deep down. Assume that until they prove you otherwise. But yeah, being broke, having
what
your house.
What a pain.
Man, having your house broken into, I can tell you from experience, there's, and it, you know, you don't think it until it's happened to you. That feeling is a, it's like the flu. It's a feeling. It is. It isn't just an imaginary. Like, oh gosh, your body reacts when you walk into a house that someone who shouldn't have been in there was in, and your body reacts in the worst ways. You feel sick. You feel like you can never be there again. They're coming back. They've been watching. Like all the stuff that you're like, oh, I was a target. I am a victim, and I'm helpless to it. And your body gets. You get weak and sick and weird, and it's awful. There's no worse feeling having your house broken into. For, you know, your stuff, things like that. Your car, for some reason, is like, crap. But usually it's not at home. When your sanctuary is breached and things are stolen, that's not even his house. It's just something he owns and his property was in it. It feels awful.
I felt bad. It was probably 16 years ago when I was looking for a house. And my real estate person said, hey, I want you to check this area out. I know it's not on map, but check it out. It's a gated community, South Mountain.
Nice.
They just built, so we go over there and get through the gate. The first home, she's like, this is the one I want to show you. There's the custom door, shattered, kicked in.
Busted down, yeah.
That concludes this tour of the neighborhood.
I'm not, that's what you call a shithole. I'm not moving into it. Yeah, that's not a good thing. See, I always look at gated communities like, what are you afraid of? Like, something happened here, right? It's like, no, it's to keep the riffraff out. I see both sides.
Yeah.
Depends on the neighborhood. When I see a gated community in a, like, you know, Chandler over by that San Marcos, is that there? And you see all the stuff that used to be around there and then that beautiful gated community, I'm like, well, you're obviously keeping them out. Like, the people across the street, that's who you've targeted. So they've come over before and you've had it. So you built a gate.
But they don't realize it's open probably now at least 20, 30 times a day with Amazon Prime.
Right.
They all have to go. They got to do the deliveries.
My favorite are new neighborhoods that gate. Like, we're preemptive striking the riffraff. We're not even near a bad neighborhood, and we still know that you're going to see this in one end. So the gated community is a giant you to everybody else. Like, that's a way to live. If they didn't make you pay for gated communities, I'd love to do it. Me and my gay neighbors have talked about putting a huge gate at the end of the cul-de-sac. Evidently, against city codes.
No, it's
a fairly hard process to gate your road off. Yeah. But we were going to have imagine my gay neighbors. I told them, you design it. Mine will be so basic it's ridiculous. It's going to be like driving into heaven.
Oh, yeah.
The pearls and the giant
fish
birds.
Fish with
the
water coming out of their mouths.
Yeah, we would have fountains on the edges.
Some
and sides.
Out of mouth, yeah.
Just that, yeah, that might not be water. Well, it's shooting sort of a milky, viscous substance from that fish's mouth.
That gate's made of 20 Davids.
Yeah, it would be, I would, yeah, just a bunch of peeing boys. I'd be fine with that. It's still a gate. And it would probably, every time it opened, you'd probably, songs start, birds fly out of it. But yeah, evidently that's a harder process than if you can't gate off your road from the other people. Like, why?
We're in a twink circle then.
What about fire trucks and stuff?
Yeah,
we'll give them a code.
Here's the remote.
If both people in the cul-de-sac want a gate, why not? Nobody else pulling in there.
Me. I think you guys got to agree to repair the roads and all. Sure. Like, you got to maintain the street there and all
and
that
take
stuff.
It down.
Yeah, well, yeah, we would be in the roads would be pink and flowery. I'd be fine with that. It's awesome. And that's just to gate out anybody who just shouldn't even be wandering around. Just weirdo. Yeah, so, sorry, Doug.
But man, oh man. Pony wall.
He, for a few days, is going to hate humanity. And it does feel, like I said, I mean, those videos where he was so happy with, you know, like, all these people, the money he was giving these people. The one lady broke down in tears, told him, my husband just got sick. We weren't going to, you know, one of those, you know, movie things. We're not going to have Christmas. This saves Christmas. And Doug's Jewish, for God's sakes. It's like, saving Christmas is the worst thing he can do. It's the other, he should be fighting against it. It's a beautiful moment. And then this happens. So he's like, nothing comes back. There is no karma. There is no good deeds. F*** you. And I'm like, that's why I quit saying that to me.
He had to get it out.
And then I said, are you coming to the Suns game tonight? No, I sold my tickets. Anyway, move, Jesus. I missed my beeper. Anyway, it was a sad thing. So if you see Doug today, give him a pat on the back. If you see him on TV, pat your TV. Poor little fella. And if you've had your house violated, stop it. Sorry. I'm sorry for you. And all you douchebags who've ever busted into a house, and you're all busting in for drugs, you losers. You're breaking into people's things and stealing them. Having those, you know, you're the reason society sucks. That's it. We could all get along if it wasn't for losers. And you know who's to blame? The mother and the father. They were losers that raised a loser. That's basically all it is. Period. Start hitting your kids. Start hitting
hard.
Your kids. Harder. Harder. You got to hit them harder. Those little pats on the butt aren't working. Those little love taps and standing in corners and timeouts. It's a bunch of bull. Just let them all to be fentanyl addicts who live at your house until they're 30. Give them a whack. Sometimes you're sitting there going, our new method didn't work. Let's try the old way until we come up with something else. But a nice swift swat on the ass, and I'll tell you what else. No more seatbelts for a few years. That worked for us in the 70s. It made us cautious. The people that sit in front of me at the Suns game, they bring their baby. He's like 1.5. And I've seen him there a few times, and the guy's a listener, and he's talking to me. And I looked at his baby's head's got a big bruise on it. And I'm like, you know what's good here? I'm seeing a mother and a father and a kid with a bruise on his head. I'm like, somebody's getting it done. You guys are getting it right. And he goes, yeah, he fell off of something. He goes, I kept telling him, don't stand up. Don't stand. He's standing on the edge of this thing. He's like, don't stand. And then he fell down, hit his head. And he's like, guess what he doesn't do anymore? I'm like, stand up. And he goes, yeah, he doesn't do that on that little thing anymore. He's not standing. Learn less. Big wonk on your head will learn your lesson. And dad's, you know, even a flick from my dad's middle finger on my forehead. Punk. God. Damn it, how does that finger hurt so much? All right, I got to stop doing whatever that is. Whack your kids around.
Five across the mouth, it always helps.
Ready, go home and hit Kirby. That's enough of that. Whatever she's up to, whatever she's doing that you don't like, she needs a good swap. Because the dangerous thing is there.
Sorry, I wake her up on the weekends.
She'll kick your ass. That's the problem. You want to go, old man? Let's do this.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay.
If you imagine Brady spanking Kirby,
no.
The presence that would come to Kirby. Like, Kirby, the best thing that could happen is you could piss Brady off. And have him actually swat you once, because you'd get a Rolls Royce. You'd have so much guilt gift.
I hit her. Here's a Wendy's franchise. I'm sorry. Daddy sold all his bone marrow so I could buy you this Ferrari.
That's better. Never hit me again, old man.
All I need is my Shriner's blanket.
Yeah, you would be the saddest man in the world if
this paddleball game and this remote.
I smacked her. Oh, she's never going to love me again.
That's right, Danny, unless you got me a Rolls Royce. F*** you. Anyway, don't break into people's houses, losers. If you're thinking about it or you just did it, stop, turn around, and give it back. Breaking into houses. I was with my friend Grant once. I didn't know what we were doing. Grant was the guy that, I'm surprised he's still alive. In fact, we used to say, when Grant dies, not if Grant dies, and then we'd make plans for his stuff. When Grant dies, I want that guitar. Like, that was a kind of, I want that whole, he had a Les Paul. I think probably stole it. So one day, we're driving along on and over by Dobson Ranch Golf Course. And he goes, oh, bro, stop for a second. I'm like, why? Stop. I'm like, all right. I'm two other guys in the car, so I stop. He's like, my brother lives in here. I'll be right back. And 5 minutes later, Grant comes running out with clothes and an amplifier. Go, 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 go. I'm like, what just happened? They're not home. I broke in. I got my stuff back. I'm like, well, this isn't mine. And he holds up the amp. And I'm like, you stole that amp. Well, I want this. It's a PV amp to a mini amp. But God damn it. Am I driving a getaway car right
accessory.
Now? What just happened? Just go. Like, no. Put it back. It's my brother's house. It's cool. If it was cool, you wouldn't be running away. What are we doing?
Thanks for driving the getaway car, bro.
No, I did not do that. Don't tell me. I didn't. I'm telling your brother what we did.
Don't.
And then they're like, I can't be friends with this guy anymore. He's busting in his
brother's. Not too hard for him to put together his clothes.
Right. Well, I don't know that they were his clothes.
Yeah.
This stuff's all mine. He claimed it like it was his, and then he held up the amp, except this. He made clear the thing he actually did, except this. I wanted this.
Did he hook you up with anything for driving the getaway car?
I didn't want anything. No, I didn't. I wanted out. This is so Italian. I wanted out. I didn't want the pack of cigarettes.
Every time I get out there.
Once you're in with Grant, there's no leaving.
Right. I'm like, Grant, I'm not driving. Never, ever, ever, for a man named Grant Steinbrugge, never pull over when he says, hang on a second, I want to go in here for a second. Because he's going to rob the TCBY. He's going in. He's
got to say hi to somebody at this house.
He doesn't want yogurt. He doesn't want to say hello. He's going to rob the place. There's no question.
I'm going to pull over the yogurt shop. I'm going in.
Why? Right? Nobody wants yogurt.
Just do it.
Why are you bringing a gun in with you?
Why do you have your mask? What are you doing, Grant?
Just hold on. Wait here a second. I'm coming back.
With yogurt?
That machine won't fit in my trunk.
Drive.
It was crazy. Yeah, don't bring in a... Don't do that anymore. And I can say that till I'm blue in the face, but Doug Hopkins is right. Society. There's people out there,
well, Doug's rich, he's fine.
And that's the problem we've got.
Yeah,
that's,
he can take it.
That's the attitude we've got that makes everything miserable. It's the class war that some people have and some people don't, and the ones who don't think that robbing the ones that do is some sort of vindication. You know, those kids needed to be knocked around more. That's all there is to it. That's it. Or thrown in jail at an early age. That's it. Like 7. You can tell. If your kid's a loser right now, you can tell. Put him in a cage and let him get used to it. That's how it's going to work. Let's get a wake-up song in honor of poor Doug. 585-9800. A good one. And we'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Arizona's most powerful rock radio station.
He said, fully erect.
98 KUPD.
You've been listening to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Eric's Family BBQ.com.